Ephesians chapter 6. All right, Andy, Randy, my green light is on. Realize where you are living. In the last days, perilous times shall come. And realize there are spirits out there. And they have an agenda. And they have a purpose that they're seeking to accomplish. And those spirits and the devil are at work in a great way right now in the world. All right? To do something in regard to the big picture, where the Antichrist is going to come on the scene under a one-world government, a one-world religion, a one-world economic system, but also working individually in people's heads. For instance, you turn on the news. I think I was turning on the news the other day. I forget exactly where it was. Maybe it was in California. And there was a college campus, and there were some pro-Trump supporters. And these young people came along, and they beat them down. Anyone? A few of you heard about that? You know what that is? It's got nothing to do with one's conservative and one's liberal. That's not it. All right? There's a spirit involved there. There's a spirit that overtakes people and overcomes people. And it's at work right now in individual heads and individual hearts and individual lives. I was driving around listening to a talk radio show, and it emanates or starts in California. And the lady that called was from New York City. And she's telling the talk show host, she says, my 21-year-old son, he was raised in a normal home, all right? Never had any issues with him. Now he goes off to college and he calls up his parents, 21 years old, and he says, I'm identifying now as a woman. Okay, so he goes to a school counselor at a college. And you know what the school counselor tells him? Start going to Planned Parenthood and start getting hormone shots to transition. Hey, folks, you know what that is? That is a spirit. And you better realize there's a spirit, and there are spirits out there at work in people's heads, at work in people's hearts. And now it seems more so than any other time in history. As we get closer to the Lord's return, and as we get closer to the Antichrist coming on the scene and the devil taking this whole thing over. So the Bible says, listen, you better put on the whole armor of God, because when you go out those doors, the fight is on. The fight is on. All right. Verse number 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Let me pray. Father, I pray that you will bless our time in the scriptures. And dear God, I pray that we'll learn some things. But as we've already said, learn the things that we need to know to be able to put them into practice in our lives, so that we might live a victorious Christian life. And I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you'll notice in verse number 11, and again in verse number 13, the Apostle Paul makes reference. He says, the whole armor of God. He didn't say the armor of God. He said the whole armor of God. And then beginning in verse number 14, he begins to speak about six pieces in regard to this whole armor of God, or that make up the whole armor of God. And the first piece of armor that he makes reference to we'll refer to as the girdle. Look at verse number 14 again. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And so for our lesson tonight, let's consider some things about this first piece of armor. Number one, I want you to consider this, the purpose of the girdle. The purpose of the girdle. Now understand and realize that Paul, this book, Ephesians, is referred to as a prison epistle. A prison epistle, meaning that when Paul writes it, he was imprisoned in Rome. And not only is he in prison, but he's chained up on a regular basis, probably daily, to a Roman soldier. So he's communicating truth now to a Christian, but as he's communicating that Christian truth to the Christian, you know what it is? He's looking at a Roman legionnaire, so to speak, and as he's talking about how a Christian is to adorn himself with armor, he's looking at that Roman legionnaire and he says, you know what? This is what he wears, and this is what the Christian is to wear. All right, and so the first thing he begins talking about here is, as we said, the girdle. Now, you think that word, your loins girt, G-A-R-T, that comes from the word gird, G-A-R-D. And if you gird something, you bind it. That's what it means to gird, all right? That's where you get the word girdle. You're binding something, or it means to put on something. And the girdle that the soldier wore had a threefold purpose. Number one, it was to harness. It was to harness. When you say harness, what do you mean? I mean, all right, you put on this girdle, you girt yourself with this belt, so to speak, as a means of support, as a means of, for the purpose of protection, as a purpose of enabling the soldier to move with less inhibition. All right? You understand what it's talking about here? We're going to exercise tonight. I mean, we're going to exercise. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to change our clothes. Well, if you're going to change your clothes and get into some, you know, heavy exercise, male or female, on certain parts of your body, you're going to put on something that's tight-fitting, right? What are you doing? You're girding yourself for protection and for inhibition so you can move around in such a way as not to encumber yourself, right? Well, that's why you put on a girdle. That's why a soldier had a girdle. All right, so it's the purpose of protection. It's the purpose of moving with less inhibition. Here's a couple of scriptures for you. If you want to get there real quickly, I'm going to go fast. 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. First Kings chapter 2, verse number 5. Here's David speaking, and he's talking to Solomon, and he's giving him some instruction. He says, "Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab the son of Zeruiah did to me, and what he did to the captains of the hosts of Israel, unto Abner the son of Ner, and unto Amasa the son of Jether, whom he slew and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his," notice the wording, "on his girdle that was about his loins and in his shoes that were on his feet." Go in your Bible to the book of Isaiah chapter 22. Isaiah chapter 22. Notice what the scripture says here. Isaiah chapter 22. Verse number 21, Isaiah 22, 21. Here the scripture says, "I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle. And I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to the house of Judah." But you see, the purpose of a girdle is to harness. And here you see it's to what? Strengthen. All right, so a girdle harnesses. Here's something else that a girdle does. And we've already alluded to it, but it helps. In this regard, you understand this, that back in biblical times, in ancient days, all right, people wore loose, long-fitting robes. And if you're going to do something, it's hard to do something if you got this long robe on, so to speak. So they would have a girdle. It would be a means of pulling up that robe and tucking it in to give them mobility. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Here's a couple of verses for you. Luke's Gospel chapter 17. Luke's Gospel chapter 17. Luke 17. And notice, if you would please, verse number 8. The Lord's giving a parable here, and he talks about in verse number 7 about the servant who had been plowing in the field, and then the servant comes home. The master doesn't say, "Go and sit down to meat." Here's what the master says, verse number 8. "He'll not rather say unto him, 'Make ready wherewith I may sup,' and what? gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. See, getting ready to do some work. You don't need anything that's going to be cumbersome or inhibit you. Go in your Bible to John's Gospel. Next book, John chapter 13. Remember when the Lord celebrated the Passover supper with his disciples the night before he was crucified? John's Gospel, chapter 13. Look at verse number 4. Notice what the Bible says here. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and what? Girded himself. So a girdle. It's to harness you. It's to help you. Here's the third thing. It's to hold. It's to hold. The girdle was the piece of military dress that held the other pieces of armor in their place. Here's a couple of verses for you. Psalm number 45. Psalm number 45. Verse number 3. Psalm 45, 3, gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with the glory of majesty. Soldier had a sword, right? What was the sword attached to, connected with? His girdle. All right, here's another verse of scripture for you. 2 Samuel chapter 20. 2 Samuel chapter 20. Second Samuel chapter 20, verse number 8. Second Samuel 20, verse number 8. The Bible says, and when they were at the great stone, which is in Gibeon, Amasa went before them, and Joab's garment that he had put on was girded unto him, and upon it a girdle with a sword fastened upon his loins, in the sheath thereof, and as he went forth, it fell out. So you see, the sword was attached, was in a sheath, but the sheath was attached to the girdle. And so the girdle was for the purpose, as we said, of harnessing, helping, and holding. Now we're talking about a Christian soldier. All right, you're going to leave here tonight. You're going out in that world. When you get out there, the devil's out there. When you get out there, there's principalities and powers out there and spiritual wickedness in high places. And those powers are after individuals. And the devil's going to be after you. So you got to be prepared. You got to have this armor on. What's the first thing? Not the sword, not the shield. First thing is the thing that holds everything together, the girdle, the purpose of the girdle. All right, then number two, here's the second thing, the power of the girdle. The power of the girdle, it says, remember what how Paul says it in verse number 14, he says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about, notice the next two words, with truth. You see, you're gonna be girt with what? Truth. Now, here's a verse of scripture. Look at it with your eyes. Go in your Bible to the fifth book of the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy. Find Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. This is a song, the 32nd chapter. This is a song. It's a song of Moses. There's a lot of songs in the Bible. Okay. People talk about the songwriters of today. Songwriters of today. They write simple songs. This is a real song. This is about the Lord. But look at verse number 4 for the sake of time. He, talking about God as the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. And then notice what it says about him, a God of what? Truth. And without iniquity, just and right is he. All right, so you see that God is a God of truth. You got to find out where the truth is. There's a lot of disinformation out there. There's religious disinformation out there. All right? There's news disinformation out there. All kinds of disinformation, all right, that's trying to get given to you that you will accept as truth, but it's not. But the God of this Bible is a God of truth. Now, because he's a God of truth, you know what he wants to do? Communicate truth to the individual, to the believer. And if you can receive the truth, if you can receive it, then you'll be strengthened by the truth and you will be established with the truth. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The first thing that you need is truth. All right, so I'm looking for truth. I'm a truth seeker. All right, where am I going to find the truth? The scriptures. Here's the book. The book, this book is the truth. I didn't watch it. I think it started this past Sunday, and I was preaching in a meeting anyways, but I saw the advertisement for it. I was in a coffee shop getting a coffee, and they had CNN on the television screen while I was waiting there, so I'm watching it. And they just started it last week. It's a series that they're putting on about Jesus Christ. I forget exactly what they call it. Anybody know? Okay, but it's a series about Jesus Christ. And in this first, they were talking about, and it was on the news too. I mean, it was on the day programs. You know, they were talking about it. But on this first series, the first program in this series, they're talking about this discovery they made that Pontius Pilate really existed. Like that's some great discovery. Okay, like I need, you know, somebody out there to find out that Pontius Pilate, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John said he existed. I don't need to find it out from somebody else, right? Okay. Jesus said in John 17, verse number 17, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. He's praying to the Father. He said, thy word is truth. Amen. Okay, I want to find the truth. You know where I find it? Right here. This word is truth. You know this verse, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. First James chapter 1, verse number 8, first part of the verse, of his own will begat he us through the word of truth. This book is referred to as being truth. Here, look at these couple of verses with your eyes. Psalm 119. Verse 142, notice what the Bible says here. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Look at verse 151. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. All right, so the first thing you need is the truth. You have to be girt with the truth. And in the Bible, you'll find out the truth. You'll find out the truth about God. You'll find the truth about Jesus Christ. You'll find the truth about heaven. You'll find the truth about hell. You'll find the truth about man. You'll find the truth about sin. You'll find the truth about the world. You'll find the truth about life and death and love and war and good and evil. Satan, you tell me what you want to know the truth about. You'll find it right in that book. When I'm looking for truth, I go to the scripture of truth. And I believe what that says. And if what this says disagrees with science, man, anything, I take this over that. Amen? Anyways. The power of the truth. Thy loins girt about with truth. You get truth from the scriptures. Hey, you know where else you'll get truth? the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. What did he say to his disciples the night before he was crucified in John 14, verse number 6? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Remember what John chapter 1, verse number 14 says? And the Word, that's Jesus, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John chapter 1, verse number 17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. When I'm looking for the truth, I get it from the Scriptures and I get it from the Savior. I find out he tells me the truth about his person. Remember the night, John 14 and verse number 6, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Three verses later, you know what he says to Philip? He says, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So you know what I know what? I know he's God in the flesh. He's God in the flesh. I find the truth about his purpose, his person. I find the truth about his purpose. Why did he come into this world? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the purpose for him coming. I find the purpose about his plan. You know what his plan is? He said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He came to die on a cross so that you and I could have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. I find out his priority for living. What was his priority? Remember the night before he was crucified, he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. His priority was the will of the Father. I find out about his power after he rose again from the dead. Remember what he said to his disciples in Matthew 28, verse number 18? He said what? All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Wilner, I know you know. I'm just trying to remind you. That's why you come to church, to get reminded. You know who got the power. So you know what you got to do? Plug into the power source. You know what? If people will plug into the power source, doesn't mean that all your problems are going to go away, but it means that when you're going through the problems, you got some power to deal with them. Amen. In and of myself, you know what I don't have much of? Power. But you know what? When I'm plugged in, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can deal with anything. Amen. So loins girt about with truth. See? There's power in the truth. And I find out about the truth from the Scriptures. I find out the truth from the Savior. And one more thing. I find out truth from the Spirit of God. When you go in your Bible to John chapter 14, John chapter 14, verse number 16. In 16 and 17, Jesus said before he went back to heaven, I'll pray the Father. He'll give you another comforter, even that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be where? In you. Go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, look at verse number 26. When the comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. See, he's called the Spirit of truth. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, look at verse number 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. All right, now, one last place. Go in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2, we're still talking about the Holy Spirit. Look what the Bible says in verses 11 and 12. He says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we just found out in Deuteronomy chapter 32 that God is a God of truth. But a man naturally cannot understand the things of God. Truth has to be communicated to him through the Scriptures, through the Savior, by the Spirit. Look at verse number 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. That's the Holy Spirit, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. All right, so with the Scriptures and through the Savior and by the Spirit, I can know truth, I can receive truth, and because I can know it and because I can receive it, I can be what? Strengthened by it. Amen. Empowered by it. Amen. Enabled by it. Amen. So I can do what? Why? I can fight the good fight of faith and war this warfare. All right, almost done. One more point. All right, so we're talking here about the purpose of the girdle, and then the power of the girdle, all right? And then last of all, the principle of the girdle. The principle of the girdle. When a believer understands, as we already said, the purpose of the girdle and the power that you can receive from receiving this truth, then you can use the girdle for its intended use. If your loins are girded with truth, three things very quickly, and then we're done. You'll not be deceived and led into sin. Now, if you've been following along in your Bible reading calendar, I think today you were supposed to read Deuteronomy chapter 5, 6, and 7. I think in Deuteronomy chapter 5, if I'm remembering my chapters correctly, but the word Deuteronomy means the second giving of the law. God gave it to one generation and he's giving it to a second generation. So now the generation that's going into a whole generation died in the wilderness. Their children now are going into the land of Canaan. And so God's now giving them the law. In that first generation, when they met with God over at Mount Sinai, all right, God gave them the 10 commandments written on tables of stone. And the 10th commandment is, thou shalt not covet. He said, the neighbor's ass, the neighbor's ox, the neighbor's house, the neighbor's wife, whatever. He said, now, when you read the book of Deuteronomy and you're reading about the second giving of the law, God doesn't use the word covet. He uses the word desire. Thou shalt not desire. You see, I just found out what the word covet means without a dictionary, by comparing Scripture with Scripture. So coveting is desiring something that you shouldn't have. It's your neighbor's wife, shouldn't have her. It's your neighbor's house, shouldn't have it. It's your neighbor's ox, shouldn't have it. It's your neighbor's ass. See, they're his, they're not yours. So don't desire what's not yours. Desire. Now realize this, sometimes we sin because we just let our lustful desires take control of us. Okay, in other words, we know it's wrong, but because we want it and our flesh wants self-gratification, if you don't have any power, now you can have power over your lustful desires through the Lord, as I'm saying, but if you don't subdue those things and put them down and get the victory over them, you'll just give in to your desires. And you knew it was wrong. Right? We knew it was wrong, but we just gave into it. Okay? So sometimes we sin because our flesh takes control. But sometimes people sin because they get deceived. Yeah, they end up doing the wrong thing, but they got tricked. They got duped. I gave you this verse a couple of weeks ago, but I'll give it to you again. You don't have to turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 13. The Bible says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. The devil came along in Genesis chapter 3 and did what? He deceived the woman into partaking of that forbidden fruit. And when she partook of that forbidden fruit, she sinned. All right? But you see, if I'm girded with truth, I'm not going to get deceived and led into sin. Are you with me?
Amen.
Okay. Number two, I'm not going to be led astray by false doctrine. Here's a verse for you. If you're back there in Ephesians, real quickly, Ephesians, this time it's in chapter 4, verse number 14. All right, in verse 11, you find out that God gave to the church preachers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then he tells us in verse number 14, one of those purposes of giving the preacher. He says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight, that word sleight means trick, by the trick of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Realize, there's spirits out there, and spirits use people, and the purpose of these spirits sometimes is to lead people into sin, but sometimes it's not to lead them so much into sin, but to lead them astray by making them now believe something that they shouldn't believe. If you do this Christian thing for any length of time, I'm trying to live a Christian life, here's what's going to happen. You're going to meet somebody, and you're going to see at some point in their life they're seeking to live godly and live for the Lord, and then they're going to get off and they're going to get led astray, and you're going to be having a conversation with them, and they're going to say something like this to you, okay? I don't know if I believe the Bible anymore. I don't know if the Bible's true. You will have that experience. Okay, anyone ever had that one? Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, okay, a bunch of you already. How'd you get talked out of that? How'd you get tricked out of that? Spirits. Spirits. Hey. You gotta be careful. We didn't see it, but we were just driving along when we were driving back from Rochester, and she was just looking on her phone at the news. And Judge Jeanine Pirro on Fox News, they had a little thing on Fox News. You know what Disney just came out with? What?
Beauty and the Beast?
No. That Beauty and the Beast, yes. No. The first homosexual kiss on a kid's cartoon. What's that all about?
Wickedness.
Well, that's mind control. That's teaching a little child that this is okay. I got a book that says it's not okay. Amen. But that's what happens to people. They get duped into believing stuff that they shouldn't believe. Christians get duped into believing. Got your girdle of truth on, then you not be deceived and led into sin. You won't be led astray with false doctrine. Last thing real quickly and I'm done. You'll be set at liberty. And you'll be free to serve the Lord. Remember what John the Apostle said in the book of 3 John in verse number 4? He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, what? Walk in truth. I give you this verse and we're finished. John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse number 32. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 8, verse number 32. He says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what?
Free.
Free. See, if I'm strengthened with truth, I won't get led into sin. If I'm strengthened with truth, I'm not going to believe the false doctrine of the devil and the false doctrine of this world. If I'm believing the truth and walking in truth, I'm free. And you know what I can do? Serve the Lord. And you know what? You'll find out. It's fun to to serve the Lord. Amen. It's enjoyable to serve the Lord. It's a good time to serve the Lord. Father, I pray that your people got something tonight that helped them. Some